Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Pastor Scott Warnick. I hope you're doing well today. You know, in all the changes He, our God, is making within you and me, He rejoices in the few things that call for blessed sameness. My wise and trustworthy God, according to your word, trials come to me so that my faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Amen. Well, today, this is my final show, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the salvation in his kingdom. Romans 1:16 tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." You know, we have seen that Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom, and that he sent his disciples out to proclaim his message before his crucifixion. However, after Christ's death and resurrection, another emphasis appeared in the message preached by the apostles, one that had not been possible before Christ's death. You see, Jesus Christ had paid the penalty for human sins. In doing so, he had become the Savior of all who would accept his sacrifice and live the Christian life. Are we living the Christian life? Do we help our fellow man or our fellow sister with what's happening? Few do. After the day of Pentecost, I will tell you this. The apostles continued to proclaim the kingdom of God just as they had done when Christ walked the earth. But now they understood and spoke another dimension. Eternal life in that kingdom was now possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as Savior of humanity and through his continuing role as our high priest. Today, some view the biblical terms gospel of the kingdom and gospel of Christ as though they were different messages. In reality, however, they are one and the same. The gospel of the kingdom is the message Jesus Christ brought and proclaimed. The gospel of Christ is also the message Jesus Christ preached. Along with the message regarding his life, death, and sacrifice on our behalf, which makes possible eternal life in that kingdom, the kingdom of God is attained only through Jesus Christ's central role as the personal Savior of all who would enter that kingdom. Now, the apostles' enhanced understanding becomes more evident in their epistles and other messages after Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. The people of Christ's day expected a conquering Messiah who would throw off the yoke of the Roman rulers of Judea and establish a new kingdom. You see, Christ's disciples recognized him as that Messiah and called him Christ. And we can find that in Matthew 16:16, which in Greek means anointed, the same as the Hebrew word Messiah that we find in John 1:41 and 4:25. Because the term anointed signified the one who had been chosen to be king of that messianic kingdom. Now, here's a new understanding of the Messiah for you to understand, as well as myself. You see, Jewish believers of the early church would have understood the phrase, the gospel of Christ, as a message encompassing far more than just the person of Jesus Christ. Since the word Christ means Messiah, they understood the apostles' message as the gospel of the Messiah, the good news of the King of the coming kingdom of God. To them, the good news was not just that Christ had died for the sins of humanity, but that the Messiah had come and would return, establishing his kingdom and fulfilling the many prophecies of his glorious reign. Now, the concept that we have to understand of a kingdom established by the Messiah was not new to Jesus or his followers. Scripture records that they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately, as we are told in Luke 19:11. When Christ appeared to them again after his resurrection, the disciples asked, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And that's in Acts 1, verse 6. What the disciples failed to grasp during Christ's lifetime was that the Messiah, whom they expected would arrive as a conquering king, would first have to die to pay the penalty for the sins of all mankind. Even when Jesus Christ revealed his truth to the disciples, they refused to accept it, not long before his death. Matthew 16:21-22 tells us this. Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Now that's Matthew 16, verses 21 and 22. Not only did they not understand this aspect of Christ's mission, but they flatly refused to believe it. You see, it is understood then that the disciples were shocked when their leader, whom they expected to overthrow the ruling Roman occupational government, was arrested. In Matthew 26:56, they say this, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." And believe me, they did leave him. They left him stranded. Now, confused and devastated by this unexpected turn of events, they scattered as Jesus was tried, condemned, and executed as a criminal. But we see later, after they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which is Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, the disciples came to understand that, as the scriptures had prophesied, the Messiah would have to die and be resurrected. The Apostle Peter now, in his first inspired sermon to the Jews gathered at Jerusalem, proclaimed that David, in one of his Psalms, as he spoke of in Acts 2:31, spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. A personal rescuer or savior? Which is he? Peter needed to have to focus the minds of the Jews of this his day on Christ's atoning sacrifice and role as a personal rescuer, or savior, if you will, rather than only as a national leader. Acts 2:32 and verse 36 of the NIV state this: "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to the fact. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When those who were convicted asked, in Acts 2:37 and 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, I ask you, this is kind of funny coming from Scripture, the King James, New King James, I don't care what you read it from, but it says the same thing: to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Where does Father, Son, and Holy Ghost come into play? I ask you this: when I was baptized, that's how I was baptized, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And when I read Scripture a little more deeper, and read this scripture, I began to wonder, is my baptism for real? I wondered that. Why was I not baptized in the name of the Lord? That's my question, as many of you, I'm sure, have this question. But thousands responded to this call to repentance. I'll tell you that. A changed life, and they were all baptized. Peter helped them to see that God's promise regarding the Holy Spirit and salvation, and that's the same chapter 2, verses 17 through 18, 21, 33, and 40. these were possible only because of the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus, the prophesied Messiah. Those to whom Peter spoke had not understood the need for the Messiah's sacrifice for their personal sins, nor had they realized that the one they had just condemned to death was in fact the Messiah for whom they all longed. The apostles labored to correct these misunderstandings. Peter's next public message made clear how Christ's atoning, saving work leads to the coming kingdom of God. And he does, because if we read further in Acts chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, it tells us this: "But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Now, brothers and sisters, that's Acts 3, verses 18 through 21. Now, if you understand the book of Acts, that is, Acts is the talking of all his apostles. This is how this book was written, from all the apostles of his day. But this magnificent message, which moved thousands more to believe, illustrates the way the gospel had been preached since the beginning, how it involved Christ as the suffering Messiah, and how it was a message of the restoration of all things. The wonderful hope of Christ's return as king of a yet future kingdom, where Christ's sacrifice leads, the Apostle Paul saw with great clarity the significance of Christ's sacrifice, where it ultimately leads. In his first epistle to the Corinthians, he described the message he taught. And 1 Corinthians 15, verses 19 through 22 state this: "I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now, you have to see what Corinthians is trying to tell us, because Jesus Christ's sacrificing of his life in our place is certainly good news. His paying the death penalty for us is wonderful news. But Paul's description of the gospel he preached did not end there. After beginning the first magnificent role in our personal salvation, he continued his explanation of the reason Jesus Christ's resurrection is so important to the salvation of all humanity. And humanity is us, me and you. Continuing in 1 Corinthians 15, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." So let me ask you this: will all of us be resurrected to life again? Let me ask you that. Scripture says we will. We'll be resurrected again. The time of the rapture, when Christ comes down from the heaven, because he ain't going to come like a thief in the night. He already did that. And he died on the cross, 39 lashes, pierced his sides, but they never broke a bone. It's kind of weird how Scripture talks to us and we do not listen. Have we not ears and do not hear? I sometimes wonder if I'm hearing half the time. But you have to notice that Paul says all will eventually be made alive. He continued by showing that this will occur in stages. 1 Corinthians 15, 23 and 24 tell us this. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. Then he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. And when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. Now, earlier, I've read to you of Christ's rule as king, of that coming kingdom. But you have to notice that his assuming power as king is preceded by the resurrection of those who are Christ at his coming. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Those who are Christ at his coming. Throughout what I've explained to you in this chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul explains this wonderful aspect of the gospel message he taught. In verses 50 and 53, he explained when and how we can enter the kingdom of God. And he tells us this, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter or inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." And that is in death, is what that word sleep means. In death. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, for this mortal must put on immortality." This is the all-inspiring purpose of Jesus Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection. The resurrection of many, many more to eternal life to inherit the kingdom of God. Christ's followers are to inherit or enter the kingdom at the last trumpet. The great blast that signals Christ's return to rule the earth forever. And that's told to us, if you recall, Matthew 24, verses 30 and 31, and guess what? Revelations 11, 15. And that's in my prior teachings. You see, we see that immortal life in his kingdom is made possible by Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. "Who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel?" Who? I ask you, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel? Does that make you think a little bit? Well, I want you to imagine something with Amy Grant for a moment. I'll be right back.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is looking at me. Surrounded by your glory, What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or will all of you be still? Imagine. Ooh, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. All creation bowed down. The whole universe saying your name out loud. I can only imagine all our broken lives resurrected in the healing light. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all you
before I give you my final prayer, I want you to listen to Keith very close. he kind of touches my heart a little bit. He's a good person, good gospel singer. So his song's not long, but I want you to listen close to what he's got to say.
It'll all be over after a while. Oh Lord, it'll all
be over
after a while.
After a while.
Oh Lord,
oh Lord,
in this kingdom,
kingdom we'll meet.
We're gonna sit at,
His feet.
It'll all
be over
after a while.
I want you all to understand that I will miss everybody. And I hope to be back on the air soon. And then at that point, hopefully continue my teachings. I'm sure I'll have to start over, but I will keep the program on in the free version. That'll allow people to get into my show, to download any teachings that might interest them. I don't expect you to download it all. You'd probably be there for the next 24 to 36 hours, you know, or more, you know, to tell you the truth. And then at that point, all I can tell you is just to go and check it out. If you have a pencil and paper, I'll wait for you to get one, and I'll give you the address to use, and I'll give you a few minutes to grab one. Okay, what you want to do is you want to go to www.blogtalkradio.com, and blog talk is one word, .com / the prison minister. Now, you'll see various shows that I have. It'll tell you the length of them and what they are. And to the left of it, you will see a little button there, a little circle with an arrow on it, that will allow you to play it and also download it to your phones if you like, and whatnot. But you can scroll down the list and see what I have upcoming, what's happening, the show that's live now that will be on my archives in about 15 minutes, and that's how you get to it. It's pretty simple, I think, but a lot of people have been having trouble and what not to look for, which I can understand that. I really can. You know, Romans 8, well, let's try this. Romans 5:5 in the New King James says this: hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Father, I hope this prayer goes well. Lord, when we pray for a person or a situation and don't see things, help us to not put our hope in answered prayer, but rather to put our hope in you, the one who answers all prayers. Where we have put our hope and expectations on people or circumstances, we confess that as a lack of faith in you and your word. We take comfort in your word and your promises. We trust in you, the God of hope, who has given us every reason to hope. In your presence is where our heart has found a home. Thank you, Father. Amen. I hope you enjoyed tonight. I really do. As I said, this is my last teaching here, but my website will still be available at blogtalkradio.com/ the prison minister, and you'll be able to see all my teachings and be able to download them. And no, you do not have to join or sign up. They're there for you. I want you all to be blessed and take care. I think that prayer kind of said it all for me. Be good and always keep your eyes on the Lord. He'll never, ever forsake you. Think of Jonah in the belly of the whale. God bless you. Good night.